Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's start in Albany this morning and bring in Wall Street Journal reporter Jimmy Vielkind as the temperature seems to be rising this week in Albany, in the state capital, Jimmy, with the pushback against the governor and its administration's handling of the nursing home crisis. Where do these things stand right now?
Well, good morning, Susan. There are really two fronts at play here. The first involves federal prosecutors from the Eastern District of New York based in Brooklyn. My colleagues at the Wall Street Journal and I reported that they've requested data on nursing home deaths, including when and where they occurred, and that the request came recently after a top aide to the governor, Melissa DeRosa, privately told state lawmakers that New York officials had held off in releasing data to the state legislature and the public because they were afraid that it would be politicized by the Trump administration, who had asked for information in an earlier probe. The state says that it is cooperating fully with federal authorities, won't have any additional comment, but the fact that we now have a U.S. attorney based here looking into this as opposed to civil divisions based in Washington, D.C., represents a new level of the inquiry, and one that we suspect and we hear will have legs and have more to play out in the coming weeks and months. The other thing happening is at the Capitol, where you have a growing number of Democratic and Republican lawmakers who are questioning the governor, speaking up on the record about their experiences dealing with him and his aides, and some even talking about stripping back his power to manage the pandemic, and in the case of some Republicans, drafting articles of impeachment. Now, those impeachment articles probably won't go anywhere. Democrats dominate both the state assembly and the Senate, but it is an unprecedented level of tension, shall I say, in any time that Governor Cuomo has been in office since 2011.
I want to look at that legislative response and what you mentioned with scaling back some of those emergency pandemic powers. Now, what has been reported and what we understand is that what would be talked about by some Democrat state senators is not a full repeal of that, but instead maybe creating an overlook, an advisory board or a special committee that would oversee some of those orders. Is that what you're hearing as well?
Yes, that's what I understand, according to aides to State Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins of Yonkers. It would essentially be a board. It would have the ability to pause or take back any order within 72 hours. And I think what's important to know is that this plan, which senators say that they will act on as soon as next week, has not fully been embraced by Democrats who control the state assembly. Members there talked about peeling back Governor Cuomo's powers during private discussions last week. Those powers are set to expire at the end of April, as some members pointed out to me. And if you don't have two houses on the same page, well, then you don't have much of anything. So Democrats in the assembly are scheduled to talk again privately on Monday morning. Several members say they expect this issue will come up in those talks, but the exact path forward has not yet been settled.
Has there been any discussion of, you know, the idea of this committee to oversee these executive orders? How much of a change that is for what's in place now, where the legislature does have the power to call back any of those executive orders as we speak.
Well, that's exactly the point that Cuomo's aides have made. They always point out two things. One, that these powers were granted and voted on March 2nd, which is really, if people can recall, the day after the first confirmed coronavirus case was found in New York. So very early on in the pandemic. And they were approved overwhelmingly, not just by Democrats, but by almost all the Republicans in both the state assembly and state senate. And the legislative houses have the ability to convene and undo or modify any of Cuomo's orders since March, when there have been executive orders to close schools, to set parameters about the operations of business. They have not done so at all. Governor Cuomo says that he talks with leaders of the legislature before he makes certain decisions. So there are some real questions as to how substantive of a move this is versus a symbolic move of legislators asserting themselves against the governor who's facing a period of criticism and who they want to send a message to.
And Jimmy, for his part, the governor's part, it's been reported that he's resorted to cutthroat tactics as a weapon.
Well, people who have worked with or been around Andrew Cuomo know that he's not a shy person. He works the phone. He makes phone calls. And he can be charming, people have described him, and he can be aggressive. So Assemblymember Ron Kim, a Democrat from Queens, whose uncle passed away in a nursing home and has really taken up the nursing home issue, he described a call that he had with the governor himself last week in which, according to Kim, the governor threatened to destroy his career. Aides to the governor confirmed that the call happened, but they said there was no such threat, that it was not a shouting exchange. But many people in Albany are more inclined to believe Ron Kim. They've been issuing statements in support of him. And even Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, said on a television interview yesterday that these kinds of reports are not surprising because people in politics have received similar calls as the one that Ron Kim described. So we're seeing in this moment more of a willingness for people to speak out, particularly among Democrats, and more of an examination of tactics and practices that people around Albany know have been in place since Governor Cuomo took office in 2011 and even before.
Can you help us put into perspective the hit that the reputation of the governor has had, not just around this issue and the cover-up of the nursing home numbers, but even just going back to some of his orders and how they've fared up in recent court decisions going back several months now? It's been a rough go here, maybe since the beginning of the year.
It has not been the easiest or best period, and certainly in March, in the early days of the pandemic, in April, there was certainly a honeymoon. Lots of people, including some of the governor's former critics, said that he was rising to the moment. They appreciated his steady tone and leadership, and many of them, especially Democrats, said it was a stark and welcome contrast to the messages and the tone that was coming out of the White House from former President Trump and his advisors. Now the bloom has come off that rose. People who were critics are speaking out, and people who had given the governor the benefit of the doubt have joined the critics in many cases. We don't know necessarily how much of this is piercing through and resonating with the public. A Siena College Research Institute poll that was released on Tuesday found that the governor's job approval rating did drop 10 points between February and January. But it also showed that his favorability rating was basically steady at about 56%, and that 61% of New Yorkers overall agreed with his management of the coronavirus pandemic. That number is, again, about on par with where it had been in January. Now, it's a far cry from the 80% of people who were pleased with what was going on in the spring, and it's possible that those numbers will track down. Siena concluded its poll before news broke of a meeting between the governor's top aide, Melissa DeRosa, and state lawmakers, in which she said New York officials delayed the release of nursing home data because they were afraid the Trump administration, which had sought some records in a Justice Department Civil Rights Division inquiry would politicize the information and left lawmakers, members of the public, and journalists waiting for several months before those records were finally released at the end of January and early in this month.
All right. And Jimmy, you think as early as next week, the legislature could vote to curb his emergency powers?
That's right. State Senate officials say they are prepared. They have the outlines of a proposal. I'm not sure if an actual bill has been introduced. In order for it to be ripe for voting on Monday, a bill would have to be finalized and formally made public today. It's something that I will be watching as the snow falls.
All right, Jimmy, thanks so much for the time this morning. That's Jimmy Vielkind with the Wall Street Journal covering state politics for them with a look at what's going on and what to expect in the coming week in Albany.